Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Turn to someone, tell them how good it is to see him here today. Just let them know how thankful you are to see him. Amen. Open up with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs is probably, it is one of my favorite books of the Bible. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10. It's just chock filled with wisdom. And while you're turning, let me make mention of an event that's happening in a couple of hours here at Word of Life. At 4 o'clock, there's a pre-show. And then at 5 o'clock is the actual event, but we have a rapper who's in our church. His name is Pilo Jetson, and Pilo is a fantastic rapper. He's got a fantastic message. He's my wife's favorite rapper, and so she can't wait for this event. My kids are coming as well, but you don't want to miss it. We're going to have loads of fun. It's, you know, go get some lunch or something and come back. At 4 o'clock, there's giveaways and that kind of deal, and at 5 o'clock, the concert happens. I think actually our praise team might be doing a couple of songs as well. So we're going to have loads and loads of fun. And this event is put on by Pilo. We're hosting it here at the church, but it's for him, and he really has a ministry on his life, not just to have fun with this message and his gift that God's given him, but also to use the gift God's given him to ignite people, especially young people, to get them on fire for God. And if there's anything our young people in this nation need right now, it's to be ignited where they are on fire for God. And so come, but also maybe bring someone who maybe they wouldn't come to church, but might come to hear one dapper Christian rapper. And that's the entire sum of my rap game. You heard it all. Like, that's as many words that sound alike that I can put together as possible. Trust me, he's better than me. He will be here tonight. We're going to have fun. So once again, 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you go, your steps will not be strained. When you run, you will not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Don't let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Enter not into the path, notice the terminology, into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, and lest they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But, and this is us, the path of the just is as the shining light, and shineth more and more until the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Notice verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. We're going to start with verse 26, and then we're going to work our way back up all the way to verse number 10. Ponder the path of your feet. Did you know your feet are on a path this morning? They are. Your feet are on a path. Did you know you're on a path financially? This morning, you're taking actions. This past week, you took actions. This past month, you took actions. This past year, you've taken actions that has actually been steps on a path that are taking you somewhere financially. Did you know your health is on a path? That every choice you make in that area of your life is steps down a path, and that path, did you know this? It actually has a destination. Did you know your marriage is on a path, and at the end of that path, there's a destination? Your relationship with your children, it's on a path, and at the end of that path, there's a destination. that all of our lives are on a path, and that path leads to a destination. And what he's saying here is that most people don't ponder that path. Most people just walk it out, get to a destination, and look at themselves and say, how in the world did we get here with our finances? Like, how did this happen? And so many other people will come down, and it's like, how did this happen with my health? And they're sitting at the doctor's office, and it's like, what? Like, how did this happen? And they're at this destination, and they never considered the path that got them to the destination. They're just there suffering the consequences of those actions. A lot of people, they get to a place in a marriage, it's like, how did it get here? And what they don't see is there's a path that was leading to that destination for 10 years, walking down a path, because people didn't take the time to do what Proverbs teaches. They didn't take the time to ponder the path of their feet. But do you know what I know? You are not most people. You are not like those who will not ponder their path. You are wise. You are filled with wisdom. And us here at Word of Life Church, you know what we do? All the time, like constantly, all the time. We look and ponder the path of our feet, and we make any adjustments before things get too bad or too off course. We're constantly pondering the path of our feet. Here's what I know. First point, the sooner you evaluate your path, the better off you will be. The sooner you evaluate your path, the better off you will be. The sooner you evaluate your path, the better off you will be. Young people, listen, I know we got some young people here. I love young people worshiping here at Word of Life Church. If you're like a teenager, awesome. Young adult, college age, awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You need to come to church. And this is why it's important that you come to church, because the sooner you evaluate your path, the better off you will be. I've been blessed, and literally I consider this a blessing, over the past couple of months to spend my life and to spend a good portion of my time with people who are generations older than me. Like a good 40 years older than me, and to sit down and talk to these people, and it's like, I wish I would have been more mindful of this when I was your age, and I wish I would have considered this when I was your age, and are you thinking about, Joel, your retirement, and are you thinking about, does your back work when you're 75? Like, I hadn't been thinking about that. It's like, maybe I should be thinking about that. It's like, all of the, consider the ways of your path, because here's the thing that they know. Here's the thing, that you don't have all the time you think you have. That life moves faster than you think it does. And the sooner you can start thinking about your finances, the better off you will be. And the sooner you can think about getting out of debt, the better off you will be. And the sooner you can think about putting some money towards savings, the better off you will be. And the sooner you start cutting up those credit cards, the better off you will be. The sooner you start making adjustments in your health, the better off you'll be. The sooner you deal with anger, the better off you'll be. The sooner you deal with insecurity, the better off you will be. That it's much better to deal with insecurity when you're young and single than it is when you're 35 and married and have 3 kids and you're still wrestling with it. It has greater consequences further along that path. The sooner you can evaluate your path, the better off you will be. But here's my next point. Here's my next point. Evaluating your path regularly leads to safety and increases your likeliness of hearing from God. Evaluating your path regularly, it leads to a safer life and increases your likeliness of hearing from God. Let me ask you this. This is a 1 o'clock service. We'll let our guards down. We can talk to one another. Let me ask you this. How often have you looked at where you're going financially? Like, seriously. How often have you pulled back and say, okay, where are we going? Like, what are we doing? How often have you reflected on where you're going? Like, with your health, honestly, like with your health, how often have you pulled back and said, okay, what path am I on? Like, what direction is this trending in? Like, what about with your marriage? Or what about with your kids? Like, with your kids, have you looked at the path you're on with them? Is it leading to greater connection? Is it leading to greater intimacy and trust? So awesome last night. So awesome. Last night, my daughter came to me. We'll keep this once again between me and you. Just me and you. Don't tell anyone. So with this, my daughter came down, and she was supposed to be in bed, and she comes down the steps, and she's crying. I'm like, what's up? And she's like, Daddy, I have something I need to tell you. I'm like, you can tell me anything. She says, there's something bothering me on the inside. I'm like, what is it? Baby, you can tell me anything. I said, come here. So she sat down on my lap. And she said, I watched something I shouldn't have watched. I'm like, baby, that's okay. Tell me what you watched. She said, last night I was on the iPad. I was pulling up some scary pictures. I knew not to look at them. I kept looking at them anyway. And with that, I couldn't go to sleep until I told you about it. I'm like about to bawl. I'm like, baby, that's your conscience. I'm like, you got to know you can come and tell your daddy anything. And when you come and you tell me something like that, I'm your friend, I'm your father, I'll lead you out of that. Let's talk about why we shouldn't be looking at stuff like that, why your conscience. But it's like, woo, I want that. Ooh, I want that. That intimacy, especially because she's double digits now. I never would have thought I had a kid who would be double digits. She's 10 years old, man. It's like, I need that. I need for her to be able to come. I'm wrestling with this. I'm dealing with that. But it blessed me because we're on a path that I like. Pondering the path of your feet. It's better to ponder the path before you reach the destination. Because sometimes at the destination, there's things you can't come back from anymore. Ponder the path of your feet. I was looking at this and going back at some of the things that the Lord Jesus has spoken to my heart. And I've actually preached on many of the things. Much of the stuff I preached to you about is stuff that God's been dealing with me about. And so I was going through some of the old teachings that I've given you guys and making sure that I am a doer of them and not just a preacher of them only. And I was studying the life of Jesus, and I did a series on the life of Jesus. And I was going through those notes, and I found this quote, and I actually showed it to you about 2 years ago. And I noticed when I was studying Jesus' life that the biblical record shows, that's just the fancy way of saying, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you study Jesus' life, you find that Jesus wove into the fabric of his everyday life the disciplines of prayer, solitude, reflection, and worship. Now, let me just stop right here. How much of this have you been doing lately? Like, how much reflection have you been doing? Reflection. What's reflection? Looking back at your life and saying, what am I learning? Where am I going? What could I have improved on? How much solitude have you had lately where you've just been alone with God in prayer, in worship? Jesus wove into the fabric of his everyday life prayer, solitude, reflection, and worship. There would be times where Jesus was so busy, like busy, 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 and so many crowds, and his ministry's blowing up, and you know what Jesus would do? He'd walk away from it all. Walk away from all the success. Walk away. How many of you know it's dangerous to be a prisoner to your success? Where you become so successful that it takes you to manage it all and you feel the pressure of all the success, so you can't rest, you can't slow down, you can't reflect, you can't push the pause button, you can't do any of that. You become a prisoner of your success. Jesus refused to let that happen to him. And he'd walk away from the crowd, and you know what he'd do when he'd walk away from the crowd? He'd go to a beach. He'd go to a garden. He would go out in the woods, and you know what he did in those woods? He got alone. He had some solitude, and he would talk to God. And in these seasons of talking to God, we see that that's how he formed his decisions. His pattern was to withdraw from the crowds around him and devote time to solitude and prayer. It's amazing. I want to be more like Jesus. And here's what I saw on next screen. Here's what I saw he did. Jesus practiced the power of the pause. He would pause and then take purposeful, intentional action in his life. So purposeful and intentional that Jesus would make a statement like this. It's just mind-blowing. He said, if you hear me saying it, it's because he wants me to say it. The Father. It's because the Father wants me to say it. You see me doing it? It's because I paused long enough for him to tell me to do it. And what we need right now in some of our health is we need some purposeful, intentional action to get our health back on path. And we need some purposeful, intentional action to get our finances back on track. We need some purposeful, intentional action to get our relationship with our kids back on track. We need some purposeful, intentional action to get our marriages back on track. And you know how you take that purposeful, intentional action? You slow down. You pull back. You build in a pause in your life and you say, okay, God, here I am. Speak to me, order my steps, direct my paths, because God, I need to know what you want me to do in this season. It increases your likeliness of hearing from God and makes your life safe. So this is the first thing I want to get over to you. And I know it's raining right now. You don't have to worry about that. That just means we don't have to leave. So let's just keep going. I mean, we can stay here till the pre-show. 4 o'clock. No, but here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to do this for me. Please, just try to do this for me. Some of you need to take a couple of hours and you need to pause. You need to get alone. And maybe that's sitting in a chair with some headphones on at a local coffee shop. Or maybe it's for you walking in the woods, or maybe it's for you waking up early, or maybe it's for you taking a day off or something like that. But you need to pause and you need to look and talk to God. Maybe write some questions down on a sheet of paper like, what path am I on financially? Have I looked at it lately? What path am I on with my health? Have I looked at it lately? What path am I on in my marriage? Have I looked at that lately? What path am I on in my relationship with my kids? Have I looked at that lately? And what purposeful, intentional action do I need to take to get my life back on track? Friend, I'm telling you, it could be one of the safest things you ever do, and it increases your likeliness of having God direct your path. Because you know what God says? In all your ways, if you will acknowledge Him, He will do what? He will direct your path. He will show you where you need to go. And this is important to do this with every aspect of life. But you know what? There's one aspect that stands above them all, and it's what I want to preach to you with for the rest of this message. And that is, where is your path in your relationship to Jesus? The book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 4, it's God's success book. And with this, it says, out of all the wisdom you could be getting, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That if you don't understand the reverence of the Lord, none of that other stuff matters. That you need to understand what it means to be in a relationship with Him. And he says that in this, that there are many, there's paths we could all go on financially, and there's paths that we could all go on maritally, and different types of people we could marry, and different types of love languages with those people. We need to take those paths to reach them best. But he says, when it comes to your spirituality, there are only two paths. There are only two paths. And one is awesome. It gets brighter and brighter with each passing day. The other one is terrible. And you not even don't need to go down this path. Like, you don't need to look at it. You need to turn away from it. And you need to make sure you avoid it. That path is called the path of the wicked. The path of the wicked. And when you read Proverbs 4 and 5, which talks about the path of the wicked, you see that it leads to a stumble. It leads to a fall, and in chapter 5, you see, it leads to you giving your honor to another and your years to the cruel. And in Proverbs chapter 5, what you see is a young man who's on the right path. He is on the right path. He's had good teaching. He's had sound wisdom. He's on the right path until a crazy woman enters his life. And this woman, she is not there by accident. She has been strategically placed there by the enemy to take his life off track. Did you know that the enemy will strategically place people in your life to try to get your life off track? Did you know I have scripture for that? Not just in Proverbs chapter 5, but did you know this also happened in the life of Jesus? That Jesus is on his way to the cross, and Peter, who is a friend of Jesus, doesn't even know it. But Satan is trying to use Peter to take Jesus' life off course. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to the cross. I'm basically save the world of their sins. And Peter comes in and he's like, be far from it, Lord. Like, don't you do that. You don't want to do that. And Jesus stops and he notices this is not just Peter talking. There's someone behind Peter trying to take me off course. So he doesn't rebuke Peter. You know, he rebukes Satan. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. He picked up, there's someone here who's trying to take my life off the path God has for it. And in Proverbs chapter 5, this lady succeeds. She takes this young man's life and takes it off path, gets it on the path of the wicked, and it leads to him giving his honor to another and his years to the cruel. Now here's the thing. I don't want my honor given to another, and I definitely don't want my health to be cruel, my marriage to be cruel, my relationship with my kids to be cruel. I don't want my years to be cruel. Well, how do I avoid it? I don't get on the path of the wicked to start with. Now, here's what I know probably for sure this afternoon. None of you woke up today and said, you know what I'm going to be today? Wicked. I'm just going to be wicked. I'm going to think wicked thoughts. I'm going to do some wicked things. I'm just going to be wicked. You want to see wicked? I'm about to show you some wicked. None of you thought I'm going to be wicked today. And so this concept of wicked or wickedness, it kind of has this connotation that that's like what really, really evil people would do. But this word wicked is very, very, it's softer than how we would think it is. It's milder than what we would think it is, but it's just as dangerous. This word wicked means this, according to the Hebrew, something that violates your morals. You have morals, And anytime I'm being biblically wicked, I'm doing something that violates those morals. Now, people said, what's morals? I'm glad you asked, because I am filled with some definitions this morning. That's what wicked means. Here's what morals means. Morals is a person's standard of behavior or beliefs concerning what is and what is not acceptable for them to do. So you have a standard of beliefs, behaviors that are in you that tell you what is acceptable and what is not acceptable to do. Now, these morals came from a whole bunch of different sources. Some of them came from your mom, some of them came from your dad, some came from an uncle or an aunt or a coach or a mentor. But here's the thing, you and I know that when you start diving into the Word of God, it starts showing you right from wrong. It starts showing you sin and righteousness. It starts showing you light and darkness. It starts showing you godliness and worldliness. It starts showing you the difference. And we start seeing, whoa, I can't treat an enemy any old way I want to treat him. I need to pray for him. I need to bless him, turn the other cheek. And it goes cross-culture or crosses the boundary of how we used to act. And now all of a sudden I see this is right over here. And it's wrong to hold bitterness towards him. And it's wrong to hold anger towards him. And if I choose to forgive, but instead to be bitter, I go down the path of the wicked. And friend, there's a destination at the end of that path that leads to me giving my honor to another and leads to my marriage being cruel. I can't tell you how many marriages end up cruel because someone knew to forgive but didn't. Someone knew to be sweet but wasn't. Someone knew to pray instead of talk about what they talked about. And they didn't see it. It's like, how did we get here? It's like, you took that path a long time ago. That wasn't just, whoop, destination. This word, wickedness, it starts with something that seems so simple. See, wickedness never comes out. Satan never comes out. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ruin your life, family, health, everything. I'm going to ruin you. Satan never does that. Nope. What he does is in Proverbs chapter 5, you see how this plays out. Here's how this looks. Here's how this process works. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But watch verse 4. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So it looks sweet, but it ends bitter. It looks sweet, but it ends bitter. And anytime Satan wants to get my life or yours off track over on the path of the wicked, he'll show us something that looks easy, looks sweet, looks more convenient. He'll give us every excuse in the world to kind of go in that direction because it looks sweet, it looks sweet, it looks sweet. But the destination of that sweet path is bitter. And friend, this happens in many people's lives. I thought about all the examples in scriptures I could give you. I thought about showing you Solomon, a man who loved God, but at the end of his life, he's miserable. Absolutely miserable. In spite of the houses and the, he's miserable. I thought about showing you him. Well, if I could only show you one, I'd show one that's a little less common. It's a guy by the name of Lot. Now, many of you probably know Lot. He's found in the book of Genesis. I'll put it up on the screens. And Lot is the nephew of Abraham. And Abraham's this man who loves God. He's on the path of the just. His life, you know Abraham's story, many of you at least. Abraham's life is on that path of the justice, getting brighter and brighter, better and better. There's so much grace and goodness in Abraham's life that it's overwhelming. Like, God is so blessing Abraham. And with this, Lot is in this relationship with Abraham, so he's getting blessed out of Abraham's walk with God. Did you know you can have fallout from the blessing of God on someone else's life? And Lot is in close proximity to a man who loves God, and he is reaping the rewards of that proximity. You need to get around people who love Jesus. And there's so much increase in Abraham's life that finally he comes to Lot and's like, look, we can't, our land has got too many people on it, too many cows, too much stuff. We need to separate. But this is where Lot's life goes down a different path. And you see Abraham wind up at this destination, and you see Lot and his family wind up at another. You know what made the difference? It wasn't Lot saying, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to ruin my life. Nope, it didn't happen that way. You know what happened? Something so subtle. Watch what happens in Lot's life. Genesis 13 and verse 12, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And get this, pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, this is important. He wasn't in Sodom. He just pitched his tent towards Sodom. Can I ask you, what's your tent pitched in the direction of? What's in front of you all the time? And with this, Lot, every time he opens up the doorway to his tent, he's looking right at Sodom. Not in it, just looking at it. Every time his wife opens up the doorway to the tent, it's, there's Sodom. He's got two daughters. Every time they open up the doorway to the tent, there's Sodom. And this happens over and over again. And the problem with this is the next verse. Sodom was a bad place, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, here's the thing you need to know about Scripture. It didn't throw out adjectives. Have you ever met someone who just used adjectives? It's like, that was awesome, but it wasn't. It was just like, okay. It's like, that wasn't awesome. It was okay. So they throw out adjectives that don't actually mean what they say. And when the Bible says they were sinners exceedingly, it means they were sinners exceedingly. These people could care less about God, could care less about it. And this is what Lot, his wife, and his two girls are seeing every single day. And you see something happen in Lot. His life goes through a progression of four different things. It's like the things of God, this is important, the things of God started mattering to him less and less and less and less, and the things of the world started mattering more and more and more. And in Lot's life, his first thing that he did was he pitched his tent towards Sodom. The second thing is he finds himself living in Sodom. He moves his family there. And God tells Abraham, I have to destroy the city. The city's about to get destroyed. And Abraham tells God, but Lot's in the city. So God sends two angels into the city to get Lot out of the city. And these two angels knock on Lot's door, and Lot welcomes him in his house. And they're like, we got to go. This city's about to be destroyed. You know what happened? Not only did these angels find Lot in Sodom, these angels found Sodom in Lot. You read the story in Genesis chapter 19. Homework, you can go home and read it for fun, extra credit. These angels are like, we got to get out of here. And you know what Lot did? He's like, oh, we're okay. We got to get out of here. The destination's about to here. You take a couple more steps on this path, Lot. You got to go. And he's like, no, we're okay. There's a hesitancy in him. He doesn't want to leave it. And so finally he gets up, and he starts telling his daughters, okay, we got to go. The angels are saying it's about to be destroyed. And they've gotten married to sons of Sodom, sons of this city. And so he comes and tells his son-in-laws, like, we got to go. And you know what they do? They mock him. Like, no, we're fine. No, we're good. They thought he was crazy, the Bible says. So he pulls his daughters away from these sons that he allowed them to marry. And they start walking out of the city with Lot and his wife and their mom. And you know what the saddest part of this whole story was? Not only did Sodom get in Lot, Sodom got in his family. And they're leaving this city, and Sodom didn't leave them. And Lot's wife looks back because her heart would rather be there with these sinners than with God over here. At some point, she lost it. She lost her affection for God and gained it for the world. It's like, I'd rather be there than with them. And I know God's over here, but I enjoyed that, and I want to go back there. And as soon as she turned back, she turned into a pillar of salt. And these daughters of Lot, I don't even want to talk about what happened to them. The pain that it caused Lot and the pain it caused them, it's unspeakable to me. You can read about it in Genesis 19 if you want, but I just don't even want to go there. And what you find in Lot's life is something that I hope you don't ever see in the lives of those you love or in your own, but you find this next point. He took the path of the wicked. He gave his honor to another. He gave, no one took it. He gave his years to the cruel. And it didn't happen overnight. It was just a subtle shift in Lot's heart where the world just started to mean more to him than God. On the other side, you got Abraham. You got a man who took the path of the just. And here's, how do you get on the path of the just? What's that look like? Do you know the path of the just is not a what, it's a who? The path of the just is not a what, it's a who. You know who the who is? It's Jesus. In John chapter 14, he comes to the world and he says, you want to know the way? I am the way. You want to know what to do with your life? Me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. I am the light of the world. I'm the path. Jesus is the path. And I want to end with this. I want to end with this. I want it to just get in your spirit, get in your heart. And so many people are like, Pastor Joe, I want to know God. I want to like hear his voice. I want to know who to marry. I want to know if I'm to go to that school. I want to know if I'm supposed to do that or not. I want to know where to invest my money. I want to know how to grow my business. I want God to speak to me. I want his voice to be real to me. How do you know? I'll tell you how you know. Jesus, he is the way. He is the path. And it dawned on me so simply this week after talking to Mike Van Buskirk, the missionary we had in to Word of Life Church last week. Mike shared his testimony and the story, some of it, but in every service, he left out a part of his story. And so I'm hearing it, and I'm like, okay, let me piece the story together. And so I started talking to him. And here's basically his story. Mike grew up in a terrible home. Now, maybe some of you can, know what that's like. You grew up in a terrible home. This was Mike's story. Maybe it wasn't as bad as yours. Maybe it was worse. His father murdered someone at a very young age. He went to jail for that murder. Out of that, that led to a divorce between his mother and father. And she married a man who was very abusive. In fact, this man would abuse Mike's mom and Mike so much that Mike, as a little kid, would hide outside of their bedroom with a butcher's knife because he wanted to kill his stepfather. Just a little kid with that kind of hatred in his heart because of all that abuse. They were poor, real poor, homeless for 2 years. Living in different homes. So his mom recruited him to sell drugs. She raised him to sell drugs to pay for their life. With this, he next worked with a gang because that's kind of the best way he discerned to kind of know the lay of the land of how to sell drugs, to get with a gang who can kind of help you sell the drugs. Problem with that is territories and all that. So there was an Asian gang. They were up in Oregon. So there's an Asian gang from that kind of region up there who had come over. And with that, it was, you know, you're on my territory, all those types of things. So fights would break out all the time. And he got in a fight at school with one of these Asian kids. They kicked him out of school at 15 years old. He's out of school. All life is falling apart around him. And he told his story of how he wound up at a youth camp. And so after one of the services, I'm like, how in the world did you go from kid carrying a butcher's knife, selling drugs for your mom, to a youth camp? Like, you got to explain that to me. Like, how did you make that journey? And here's what happened. Is when things would get really bad in his house, and his mom knew that the stepdad was acting so crazy, when it'd get really bad, she would send him to go stay for a couple of days or weeks sometimes with his aunt, his mom's sister. And so with this, he would go over there and stay with this Anne, and he didn't know it then, but she was a Christian. She was a Christ follower, someone after Christ. Do you know what that a disciple means as I'm walking in his steps? And with this, he's staying with her one day, and she tells him, you need to go to this youth camp. He had never heard of a youth camp. It's like, it'll be fun. So he's, oh, okay, I'm all about fun. So he goes to this camp. He didn't realize it's like a church camp, like this youth camp is like a church youth camp. So it's like all these kids are worshiping. Well, he'd put his drugs with him. He's getting high. And he'd take the church kids over in the woods and get them all high. I'm like, Mike, are you serious? He's like, yes. I'm like, I need to watch who's going on our church youth camps. You know, all these types of things. So it's like all week, all I did was get high and get other people high. The whole week. He said, till the last day. And the last day I come to church, and it's like there's this worship set, and I see these teenagers. I've seen it all week, but this week I finally saw it. How many of you know you can see things sometimes but not really see it? See, I've seen it all week, but this week I really saw it. Sometimes God's so gracious to us, he opens up the eyes of our understanding. And he said, I saw these kids worshiping, just worshiping Jesus. I saw these kids worshiping Jesus, and it's like, it hit me. They love him. Like, it wasn't routine. They loved him. And it looked like to me that he loved them back. He said, I never felt that before. I had never felt a love like that for someone before. But the way they're loving him, it's like, can you love like that? And it looked like they were receiving love. And I never had a father love me like that.
I never had anybody love me like that. And so I said, I just thought I'd try it. And he went down to the altar and he just kind of lifted his hands like he saw these other kids doing it. And he's like, God, you know, if you can love someone like me, forgive someone like me and heal a family like mine, I need you. And he said, at that moment, he said, sometimes I've come to see and later in life that God can blow like a little wind, but sometimes he comes in like a rushing mighty wind and hits you. And he said, I got hit by that rushing mighty wind and the presence of God came all over me. And before I knew it, I'm on the ground and I'm crying. And everybody's wondering what's going on. And all these kids are coming up to me saying, what's going on? And he tells them, I don't know, but I can sense his love for me. They led him in a sinner's prayer and he received Jesus into his life for the very first time. Well, after that, he's got to go home though. Can't stay with his aunt forever. He's got to go home, and he goes home, and here he is back in his same old environment. He doesn't know partying's wrong. He doesn't know drinking's wrong. He doesn't know getting high is wrong. He doesn't know any of that, so he goes and does what he did before the youth camp. He goes to his party, starts getting high, starts drinking. He said, and the whole time I'm doing it, though, there's something on the inside that knows this is not me anymore. He used the term, it just didn't fit. I lost my appetite for it. Do you know you can keep doing it, though, and it'll harden your heart back over to it? But at that moment, his heart's tender towards God. And no preacher told him to stop. It wasn't like a preacher was there. Now, Mike, he didn't know. He'd never been to church. But there's something, I can't do it anymore. So he said, I left the party. He said, I didn't know what to do, though, because that's what everybody was doing. In my circle of influence, like on Friday, Saturday, that's what everybody was doing. It didn't fit me anymore. So he said, I just ride my bike. He's a 15-year-old kid, so I just ride my bike. So when I was riding my bike out in this parking lot, and I saw this little thing that looked like a church and said like a sign, like Good Shepherd, and I thought, sounds Christian to me. So he said, I walked over into it and said, is this a church? And they said, no, this is a church office. Like where we meet as a church is like down the road. So he said, I rode my bike down there. I was riding it in the parking lot. I was ashamed to go in because I didn't look like all the people who were going in. He said, I never would have gone in. But this one person stopped and looked at me and said, you coming? Wonder who you could do that for. You coming? Yeah, I got to thinking about this the other day. I can't remember last time anyone asked me if I knew Jesus. I've never been witnessed to. Never. I've never been witnessed to. Have you? You ever been sitting at a restaurant and someone asked you, hey, do you know Jesus? When's the last time someone invited you to church? See, we think we live in a little Christian counterculture, but we don't. The full breadth of our Christianity is not how much we come, it's how much we go. That's when it's clicking. Who could you do that for this week? You coming? So he said, yeah, he dropped his bike and he walked in the church. Church of 19 people. He said, I started learning about Jesus and started learning about prayer, started learning about these things, and I just dove into Jesus. He said, one day I go back to school, and I'm going to, you know, catch back up, and I've got to take these classes, and I sat through this one class before, about to sit through it again to pass it, and they start talking about world history, and they start showing videos of Asia, and I'm looking at these videos, and he said, I don't know why, but I'm crying. Everybody's looking like, why are you crying? It's like, I don't know, something about this, it's getting me. What was it? Jesus is the way. He is the path. And Mike doesn't even know it, but he's just pressing into Jesus. And you know what Jesus starts to do for Mike? He starts showing Mike his path. Because Jesus is the path. And he wasn't praying about, Lord, am I supposed to move to India? Nope. He's just praying, I want to know Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. And Jesus starts showing him the path. Oh, you're going to serve me. And you're not just going to serve me. You're going to go to Asia and serve me. But he didn't pick that up. He's 15. He just knows every time I talk about Asians and CA, I want to cry. One day he goes to church. And in comes a missionary by the name of Kevin Cooley, who was in our youth group. This is all the way in Oregon, from Mississippi to Oregon. And Kevin had started a Bible school over in Calcutta, India.
And he comes in, he's raising support, and just felt led to go to a little church up in Oregon. He comes to this little church, it's a small church. I almost would think, I wonder how tempted Kevin was not to go up there for 19 people. You'll never know what's on the other side of your seat of obedience. He goes up there and he starts talking about India, and he doesn't know it. There's a kid in that church who every time he hears about Asians is crying. And he starts talking about India. Mike starts speaking, maybe I'm supposed to go there. So he comes and talks to Kevin. He's like, pray about it. You're supposed to come? Come on. Mike prays about it for 2 years. He's diving into Jesus and feels led to go to India. 19 years old, first time over there. First time out of the country. Goes over to India in Calcutta. He's just loving on Jesus. Just pressing into Jesus. A young guy by the name of Rupak, from a random place called Sikkim, says, you ought to come sometime. Have you ever told somebody that? It's like, you ought to stop by sometime, but you were just saying it. You didn't actually want them to come. It's like, you ought to come by sometime. It's like, they came. Wow. So with that, he tells, you ought to come to Sikkim sometime. He said, when he heard that, it's just something on the inside. No, I'm supposed to go to Sikkim. He wasn't praying about that. He's just loving on Jesus. But Jesus is the way. He is the path. You get close to Jesus, you'll find the steps you're supposed to walk in. He said, it just got so big in me. So he took an 11-hour train ride in India. You don't want to be a train on India. He said, it's bad. Then a 6-hour car ride up the side of a mountain into a middle of nowhere place called Sikkim. I start preaching to a group of people there and look over, and there's this young lady there, interpreter named Jyoti. The rest is history, as they say. Church has been started. Bible school has been started. Orphanage has been started. You've been a big part of all that through your giving here. We've given it there. You know what Mike's seen over the course of his 17-year journey with Jesus? His path. He's gotten brighter and brighter with each passing year. He's not the richest man I know. He doesn't drive the nicest car I've seen or live in the greatest house I've seen. But you know what he is? He's rich. Rich in what? Rich in God. Rich in love. His kids love him. His marriage is good. His ministry has grown with each passing year. Saw a businessman in our church come back there, said, hey, can I meet with him? Hand him $20,000. Commit to $1,000 a month. He didn't know how to handle it. It blessed me. He didn't know what to say. Until the service after, I saw him on his knees over here during worship to Jesus. You got a path, and you get to choose. You can choose your path financially. You get to choose your path with your health. You get to choose your path with your relationships. You get to choose all kinds of paths. But friend, if there's one path that you need to choose right in, it's you get to choose the world, or you get to choose Jesus. And if you choose the world, the things of Christ will begin to drift from your life. And all of a sudden, like Lot's wife, there's a part of you that wants that more, that wants that, and that's when it gets bad. Or like Abraham and like Mike, you can choose Jesus. And you can love him and want him more than you want that job. Want him more than you want that church. And want him more than you want to get married. And want him more than you want those kids. Want him more than you want that stuff, and want him more than you want that job, or you want him more than you want him to fix it. You want him more, and you know what happens when you get to that place? The path of the just gets brighter and brighter, and Jesus says, oh, you want me? You want me? Let me lay beside you. Let me add to you all the things that everyone else out there is seeking. Because when you seek me first, you give me the access to lead you down every path you would ever want to go on and to take you to a destination that the end of it all, you look at it and there's only one word you can describe, use to describe it. You know what it is? Perfect. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people. We humble ourselves, Father, in the mighty hand of God. And we say, Lord Jesus, we want you. I want you. More than anything. More than everything. And Father, I just thank you for every person here. That maybe there is some in here like Mike at 15 who see your love and see our love for you and think, I want that. Let them decide today, I can have it. Let them draw near. But for everyone else, Father, I thank you that each and every one of us come to a place in life where we just say and Lord Jesus, we want you first. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to be cold. We want to be hot. Hot for you, Jesus. Hot for you in worship. Hot for you in prayer. We want to be hot. And Father, I thank you that by your grace, you're leading us into that level of commitment where we live on bended knee. I love you, Lord. I love these people. Bless them. Strengthen them. Comfort them. Let them be lovers of you, lovers of one another. Forgive them. Wash them. Strengthen them. And Father, I thank you. Their best days are starting right now. Their path is getting brighter and brighter. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to thank you for listening to us today. I pray that you enjoyed the message, and I just know that as we talk, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. Hopefully, we'll see you soon sometime. Join us this weekend if you can. Until then, we'll see you next time.